All right, everyone. Hi. Welcome back to Let's Talk Sports, Season 2. I'm really excited to get back into this. My name is Jim Morrell. I'm an ASU Walter Cronkite School of Journalism student, and I am back after my long hiatus. In case you can, like, just in case if you anyone can tell, I am recording this episode off my phone, just like the good old days, because my mics are being weird due to my computer I'm using that they're plugged into. It's been on too long, and I just have to, like, turn it off and let it give it time to rest. So I wanted to get this out before midnight, my time. It's currently 10, so I am doing it off my phone. But I just recorded, like, a 7-minute long intro, and I'm really bummed it was glitching because I said everything I needed to say, but I will repeat. For those of you who have missed out or haven't kept up, I've been gone for about a month or a month and a half. And I've had just personal family issues going on, so I decided to give myself a break, kind of extend the season 1 to season 2 break, because I only did one episode of season 2 before I took my another short break or long break. And but I'm back, and I am now ready to go full force with a fun announcement that makes me very happy and makes me excited for the future of what I'm doing. So I will start with the announcement. On my Twitter, at MrWonderful28, I put a poll out there, and not many people responded due to how small scale this podcast is, but people did respond, and I asked pretty much, I don't think it's right for me sometimes on this podcast to talk about basketball or NHL, just because the real care of this podcast goes into the NFL season and the MLB season, just because as a bystander and as a normal fan of sports, those are the two sports that gain my attention always. Football and baseball, that's kind of where my attention is always diverted to. So I have made the decision to continue Let's Talk Sports and try to talk about as many sports in many situations as I can. But I have also wanted to find a way to implement a way to really provide good news and topics that I really know a lot about and really, 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 really can, like, provide good episodes and entertaining episodes, like, all the way through. So, which is why, after seeing the votes and people, what they wanted me to do if I did do it, I am making a Chicago Cubs MLB baseball podcast. It is unnamed. It is going to start sometime this week on opening day, or maybe the day before opening day. And I'm very excited. And I'm very excited to just talk about a team that I root for and a team that I fully understand and, like, can provide news that I just know. Like, I don't have to do crazy research, have to, like, catch up because I missed stuff. Like, no, I'm always getting notifications for the Cubs. I'm always checking in on the Cubs. And I am from Chicago. I was born in Chicago, so or not in Chicago, but I was born in Illinois and lived in the Chicago area. So I am very excited to do that, and go Cubbies. But other than that, everything's the same on this end of the podcast, of my podcast. Let's Talk Sports will never go away. It will always be the same format. Seasons with 20-plus episodes, and then a break when I'm done with the season. A good example of how I'm going to do this podcast is the wonderful folks over on YouTube, Good Mythical Morning. They kind of do the same thing where they do seasons and then they take a break. So if you want any inspiration or any sort of format of how I do it, that's how I do it. I definitely recommend watching those guys. They are pretty great at what they do. And they're not sports related. They're just, they do crazy stuff, so. Yes, not really what I thought was going to happen in this intro was me shouting out Good Mythical Morning, but have to give credit where credit is due. Anyway, I do have some great topics today. Although I'm very, very late to the party, I do want to talk about some NFL free agency moves. I will not be spending a lot of time because, like I said in episode 1 of season 2, I do want to start transitioning over to MLB. This is the time of year. Opening day is in, I think, 5-6 days. So that the news is going to be heavy baseball and heavy NBA finals sort of thing. And I know, although I just said I'm not going to cover NBA a lot or as much as others, when it comes to playoffs of that sport, of NBA, I will be covering it because I keep up with it way more. And I really, I really pay attention when the NBA playoffs come. So I will be covering that. So right now it's going to look like NBA playoffs and MLB with some NFL free agency sprinkled in. But today, yeah, 2022 NFL free agency moves. And then ESPN released a NFL power ranking based on what teams have done in the offseason. And I haven't seen it yet, so I'm intrigued to kind of break it down and kind of dissect what they said. And then last topic that I want to cover on this is MLB opening day and kind of just getting in the mindset of finally having baseball back and kind of talking about what has happened since I've been gone, because a lot happened while I was out. But anyway, anyway, without further ado, let's hop into episode 2 of season 2 of Let's Talk Sports. Alrighty, getting this started out hot, I want to give a bold statement that many people probably agree with how, you know, football has gone. The salary cap is not real. It does not exist. You cannot convince me that it exists, because the most recent move that I have seen personally was a couple days ago. The Los Angeles Rams went out and signed Bobby Wagner, one of the all-time great linebackers, going to go down in the Hall of Fame. Everybody knows that. I'm going to look at his contract. Sorry, couldn't get that out. 5 years, $50 million deal with a max value of $65 million. Remind you, this all came after, earlier in the free agency, they signed a pretty good wide receiver. Allen Robinson came from the Chicago Bears, was really great with them, and then his last year he kind of struggled a little bit, but rebuilding phase, and I doubt he really wanted to go 100% when he knew his team wasn't good and risk an injury. So I think he kind of played it safe last year. I don't really look at his recent years as anything to his true potential. I think now that he's on the Rams especially, he is going to shine and he's going to be a great receiver for them, especially because he's behind Cooper Kupp, the Triple Crown wide receiver, Super Bowl MVP. You get the gist. Cooper Kupp's amazing, and he's gonna be open more now because he has an elite one receiver with him, and he might even be the three receiver. I don't know. You might line up Cooper Kupp. I think he'd be the two. Now that Woods is gone and OBJ doesn't look like he's coming back, but I guess I can't say that because the Rams are just crapping out money. So anyway, they signed Robinson to a 3-year, $46.5 million deal that includes $30.7 million guaranteed. And then I believe after that, they extended Matthew Stafford for 3 more years. That's worth $129 million and a $60 million signing bonus. Where are they getting this money? Because personally, this is like the Warriors of the NFL, pretty much. Now, my hot take is that these moves make them probably better. I mean, losing Von Miller, getting Bobby Wagner, maybe that's like a push. Not getting worse, not getting better. Robinson over Woods, I would say long-term is probably better because Allen Robinson's younger, if I'm right. I think I'm right. Robert Woods is... Sorry, you're going to hear my keyboard clacking because my phone's so close. Robert Woods is 29. Oh, Allen Robinson, I think, is close to that. 28. So they're relatively close in age. But still, one extra year. I feel like maybe they just kind of pushed. I don't know, though. But I don't think going into this year, although they're defending Super Bowl champions, I do think with Tom Brady, and if the Bucs can stay fully healthy, they are still my favorite to win the Super Bowl next year. Now, that might be a hot take, and I feel like I'm missing a team that made a big splash, which is why I'm scrolling currently. Yeah, okay. I would also say that I could also see the Chargers. The Chargers have jumped in my mind because of what they've done. But even then, I don't feel like I would bet on the Buccaneers to win the Super Bowl. That's how confident I feel. All this being said, while Tom Brady is still there, I know there's been reports that Tom Brady might go to the Dolphins or whatever. Personally, I don't think that's real. But with Tom Brady leading the Buccaneers, coming back out of retirement, signing Logan Ryan, they got Russell Gage, traded for Shaq Mason, re-signed Leonard Fournette, re-signed Carlton Davis, re-signed Ryan Jensen, re-signed Breshad Perriman, who I know isn't an elite receiver compared to what they have, but I think he's really good depth. I'm a big fan of him. So they are definitely still probably my favorite to win the Super Bowl over the Rams, because the Buccaneers almost beat the Rams last year, and they were barely full force. So that's just one move that I wanted to talk about, obviously the Bobby Wagner thing. But let's talk about the one that I'm really mad I couldn't – I was out of town when it happened, or it was the day I left, I believe, so I couldn't get a podcast out. But let me go find them. Here it is. Tyreek Hill, wide receiver, stud wide receiver, probably some would argue top three, top five. For the wide receiver for the Chiefs, traded to the Miami Dolphins in exchange for a 2022 first round, second round, and fourth round pick, and a 2023 fourth and sixth round, and then was later extended to a 4-year, $120 million deal that includes $72.2 million guaranteed. Man, did this shake up the NFL world, because first off, the Dolphins are pretty good now with him. Their defense is pretty good. The only question mark is, will Tua be able to shine with the Dolphins? They did also sign Teddy Bridgewater, which I completely missed. But will Tua be able to really take advantage of having Tyreek Hill? The Dolphins clearly think so. They locked Hill up for 4 years. Unless they did that because they really are going to get Tom Brady, who knows. But the AFC East, looking like a Bills and Dolphins division. I am a diehard Patriot fan, so it kills me to say that. But, man, the moves they made compared to where my Patriots are at is just so discouraging. Like, it just makes me so sad. I really do like that move, and I do think personally, and people may disagree with this. This might be a hot take, I don't know. I think the Chiefs got fleeced in this deal. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 picks is a lot of draft picks. And you may find 1 to 2 athletes that can help your team in the future, especially with a first and second round pick and 2 fourth round picks, one in 2022, one in 2023. But how many of those guys, those extra picks, are going to give you another wide receiver like Tyreek Hill? I would say you have a 10% chance, maybe even less, to find a receiver like Tyreek Hill. So I just don't know. Personally, I get it's probably a money issue. I imagine when Davante Adams, which we'll talk about in a little bit, got signed by the Raiders, because apparently they were working on a contract with Tyreek Hill, an extension. I imagine when Davante Adams got that stupid amount of money, Tyreek Hill, that deal with the Raiders pretty much screwed up the wide receiver market. And Tyreek Hill said, okay, well, the best receiver in the NFL just got this amount of money. I'm the second or third best receiver in the NFL. I need to get close to this money. The Chiefs heard that and said, we agree you deserve that amount of money seeing this, or like, we're sorry we can't provide you that money, so we'll let you go. We'll let you pick a trade destination and we'll try to get you there. I imagine that's how it went. I don't think the Chiefs wanted to get rid of their wide receiver one, but you're not gonna extend him. If he plays this season and he gets hurt and he's never the same, or he has a down year, you're not going to get this load for him. So I get why they jumped the gun, because I do think that's probably what happened, was the Davante Adams deal kind of screwed everything up. But I personally just don't – maybe I'm just – I should just tell myself that they couldn't have got anything back that would make this trade appealing to me, because that's Tyreek Hill. One of the fastest players I've ever seen in my life. Maybe the fastest NFL player I've seen in my life. I don't know. But – I personally think the Chiefs got fleeced. They got Juju, who sure is a great two or three receiver, but they don't have a one, from what my memory. They have Juju, Pringle, Mecole Hardman, who will be great still, but I think he's going to have a Juju situation where he will not be able to be a one receiver. And they might put Juju there, but Juju isn't a great one either. There are reports that they're trying to trade for a receiver. Who that receiver would be, I don't really know. I don't know who's on the market right now. But that's what's going on with the Chiefs and Tyreek Hill. I think it's really crazy that this has happened. I do think this was probably the most unexpected trade I've ever seen in a long time. I won't say in my life, because there's been probably a lot more crazy trades. But seeing Tyreek Hill go to the Dolphins was pretty mind-boggling, and it broke my heart because I'm a Patriots fan. But I think the Dolphins won that trade just because I think I if the Patriots got rid of all those picks, I'd be fine if it meant getting Tyreek Hill. But that's all on that. So I do want to cover what also happened pretty recently with the Indianapolis Colts. Matt Ryan was acquired via trade with the Atlanta Falcons for a third-round pick. This is pretty exciting if I'm a Colts fan personally. Matt Ryan, although he will, no matter how good he does with the Colts and how long he's with them and how much longer he plays, he will always be followed by the 28-3 jokes, because he literally was part of one of the biggest blown Super Bowls. It is the biggest blown Super Bowl ever. But he will be, like, this is great for him because he's always been great. He's always been great. He's never been bad. Even last year, without Calvin Ridley, without no more Julio, he was a great quarterback, and he's a great leader. So seeing the Colts get him makes me excited personally for them. I've always kind of liked the Colts. Obviously, the Colts don't need to do much than hand the ball off, but now having a quarterback that can actually sling it, that's very, very, very exciting for them. They're one of my like sneaky teams, in my personal opinion. I think they might sneak into the playoffs and make a run if Matt Ryan plays like Matt Ryan. I do think it'd be beneficial for them to get one more great receiver. I love Pittman. If T.Y. Hilton's still there, I love T.Y. Hilton. But I think it'd be great to get one more receiver that can really cause some damage and mix it up. Because then you can use Jonathan Taylor and Matt Ryan evenly if one is being shut down for a game. But yeah, that happened, and that was a crazy, crazy, crazy trade. Everyone knew Matt Ryan was gone, especially when the day came, because they had to get rid of him before like he got extra money or something. So people knew that there was like a deadline, and that's probably where we would see him get shopped. So when it happened, I wasn't like, oh my God, no way. But I was happy, and I was happy to see the Colts get in on it, because they traded Carson Wentz to the Commanders. Last one I want to talk about real quick. For NFL free agency. I at least think last one. So much has happened. I probably have missed one. Oh, well, also, I will cover the Davante Adams trade. So two more. I do want to talk about this one because this one kind of has the world all shaken up. Deshaun Watson cleared his allegations or cleared some of them. I don't know where that court case stands right now. But he was acquired in a trade as well from the Texans. And they also got a 2024 sixth-round pick, and they gave up three first-round picks, a third-round pick in 2023, two fourth-rounders in 2022 and 2024, and then they gave him a fully guaranteed five-year, $230 million contract. If he is innocent, 100% innocent, I do personally think Deshaun Watson is a great quarterback to have long term. And I personally think, I don't know who he is as a person and if what he has done is true, I do think he deserves this amount of money, because if he was playing and these allegations never came out, Personally, I think he's one of the top five greatest quarterbacks in the NFL right now. I think he's elite. I think ever since he's come up from Clemson, he's been elite. And I think now that he has a great team around him with great receivers and tight ends, I think the sky's the limit for him. And I think we're really going to see him shine. And the Browns are going to be very good because of him. I've always been a Deshaun Watson fan. I've always praised him, other than obviously what's been going on with the court case. But I think it's a great move for the Browns. That many draft picks is kind of scary, personally, because if he doesn't pan out, you gave up a lot. But this was what the Texans have been saying. Like, you're going to have to be willing to sell your future to get this great of a quarterback long term, which is what they did. They really bought into that. They traded the picks, and then they said, you know what? We have to go for it. He is our long-term quarterback. And they gave him the fully guaranteed 5-year deal. So I like it personally. I know people are up in the air about it, but I like it personally. And then last, we'll talk about the Las Vegas Raiders. He was acquired from a trade with the Packers, and they gave up a 2022 first-round pick, a 2022 second-round pick, and he signed a new contract worth $141.25 million over 5 years, with an average of $28.25 million per year. I see nothing wrong with this trade. Though giving up two draft picks to be able to finally say you can compete, well, not finally say, they were in the playoffs last year, but saying you can compete with in that division now, because the Chargers got crazy better, and so did the Broncos. Well, not crazy. The Broncos didn't get crazy better, but they got better. You need to do so, and you have the Chiefs. You need to do something to compete in that division, and make your team something dangerous. They have Josh Jacobs. They have Derek Carr. They signed Chandler Jones, who's amazing. They signed Max Crosby to a 4-year deal. They got I thought they got a linebacker, but I guess I'm wrong. But anyway, they made good moves. They definitely are still a dangerous team in that division. And I do think as things play out right now, I think right now I see this division going Chargers, Chiefs, Raiders, Broncos. And I can easily see the top three teams making that the playoffs. I could see them being so close that they make the playoffs. But yes, anyway, I think the Packers absolutely got robbed. Two pick draft picks is not enough for Davante Adams. And now I think the Packers are gonna feel this, because they have done nothing to get a new receiver that's going to be able to replace Davante Adams. So good for the Raiders. Every trade I've talked about, I think the team that got the star player has benefited and has made the right move personally. So yeah, that's it for the NFL free agency. We're going to move on over to the power rankings after the free agency moves have happened. So I'm going to clip it here, and then we'll hop into the next segment. Alrighty, so here we go. NFL Power Rankings 2022. ESPN loves to call it the way too early rankings or stuff, something like that. This is off ESPN, so if you want to look at it for yourself, ESPN.com, NFL Power Rankings 2022. Starting it off, I think most people will probably agree with this. I need to see who's above them, but for now I'm not looking. Houston Texans falling in at 32. I would agree. I think they did nothing over the free agency period. I actually deleted that NFL free agency thing. I kind of want to pull that back up just in case they did do something. I can have them up side by side. The Texans, yeah, I don't see anything here. Marlon Mack, I think, is great. I love Marlon Mack, but that's not enough to win you a Super Bowl. Nothing here impresses me. Re-signing Terrence Brooks, sure. I like Terrence Brooks. Malik Collins re-signed. There's literally nothing to look at here that's really worth, like, oh my God, like, the Texans did this and got better. Like, they're going uphill. They are, in fact, still on the decline and are probably going to be there for a long while after trading Deshaun Watson. But yeah, I think 32 is probably fitting for the Texans. And I imagine 31 is going to be the, let's look, the Lions, right? Yep, Detroit Lions are 31. Lions, I think, have also been pretty quiet, haven't they? I have not heard much about the Lions this offseason. Let me pull them up. They signed DJ Chark. And that's about it, really. I like that signing. If they go and draft a quarterback, which I don't think they're going to, but if they do draft a quarterback, I think that's you can build a good connection there. But I agree with this pretty much as well. I don't think the Lions got any better. I think if the Lions have a good enough draft, they could jump up like two spots in my head, maybe to like 28, 29, somewhere around there. But I'm not really feeling the Lions getting much better as well. And I could easily see them jump up a few if they have a good draft and those players make an impact immediately. But I could easily see them fall down to 32 as well. So the Lions at 31. Jets are 30. The Jets are 30. Sorry, my foot just squeaked against this air thing by my under my desk. Let's see. Jets are 30. They re-signed Braxton Berrios, who had a great year for them last year. Got a good kicker. Jordan Whitehead signed there for 2 years. Solomon Thomas, 1 year. Wait, CJ Uzama went there? I like that signing. I liked him with the Bengals last year. I'm kind of sad he's not with the Bengals anymore. I might bump them up. 1, 2. I don't think they're... Who's above them? Let me see. The Falcons. Oh, man. Yeah, I... No, they're better. They're going to be better than the Falcons. They're going to be better than the Falcons for sure. I personally like the Jets at 28, around there. I think their defense got better, and they have a young quarterback, good receivers, well, decent receivers. Yeah, I don't think 30 is right for the Jets. I'm a Patriots fan too, so there's no bias. I think 30 is a little too harsh. I think they made decent enough signings for players that are like maybe just a tiny bit above average and can make an impact as like gap year players. Like I don't see many of these players sticking around after this year. But I do see them having an effect. Most of these players, they get like a 1 to 2 year deal, which is what I would expect. I feel like they're just gap players, and then they're going to upgrade those positions and then move on from those players. The player that stands out to me is Jordan Whitehead. And like I said, I wouldn't say he's like a star, but I'd say he's above average. So I would say on the Bucks you can see him shine as a star because he's surrounded by so many great pieces. But on the Jets, I don't know if he's going to be that amazing. But yeah, like I said, Jets would probably be like 28 for me. I don't really like him at 30. Like I said, Falcons are at 29. Losing Matt Ryan, I definitely think warrants them falling this far. But if they draft a quarterback that is decent, I think they can be sneaky. Not sneaky like in the way where they're going to make the wild card and make a splash, but sneaky in a way where they're literally just going to play the season and just try to ruin everyone else's season. They're going to go into Tampa and get somehow beat the Buccaneers, which I don't think is going to happen, but this is like my best example. Somehow beat the Buccaneers, and then the Buccaneers are the 2 seed instead of the 1 seed, or something crazy. Like that's how I feel like the Falcons are going to play out if they go with a quarterback in the draft. If they kind of just... Oh, no, they got Mariota, huh? But see, even Mariota, I think Mariota is better than people think. So I think they're going to be sneaky. I don't like them at 29. But then yet again, I do think the Jets are better. So maybe 29 is correct. Maybe that's accurate. Carolina Panthers, 28. This is so weird. The Panthers are such a weird team. I don't want to hear this. This is copyright, right? I can get in trouble for that. Well, pause it. Sorry about that. The Panthers. Sorry, I'm trying to keep up with everything. Let me look over the Falcons real quick just to make sure they ain't signed anybody where I was like, oh my god, how did I miss this? Yeah, no, okay, I'm okay. The Panthers. Yeah, they didn't do much. Matthew Iodinus. Or Ian, I don't know how to say his last name. Yeah, I think that's pretty good for the Panthers, 28. It's so crazy, too, because I think if they find a quarterback, they jump up a lot. This right here says they might draft, their focus should be on drafting a quarterback. Kenny Pickett would be awesome if they drafted Kenny Pickett. If they do draft a quarterback in the first round and any of them pan out, I do think they could jump up to, 22 range. If they find a good quarterback, they actually have a good foundation to be, a middle-of-the-pack team. So 28 feels right without a quarterback. With a good quarterback, I think they jump up pretty high. Oh, the Jaguars. If this was just based on signings, they would be dead last. Christian Kirk. Oh, my God. Where is it? Where is the Christian Kirk deal? $4 years, $72 million with a max of $84 million and $37 million guaranteed. Oh, man. They're 27. And I do think they got better, and I don't think they're going to be dead last. But if they're going to keep spending their money like this, I think they're at 27 for a long time. You can't blow money on number three receivers. Personally, I like the Zay Jones move better than the freaking Christian Kirk move. He's not a one. He got paid a one. I don't. The wide receiver market's so screwed up now. Wide receivers are going to be asking for this type of money, and wide receivers don't. They're good and they help teams, but unless you're Davante Adams or Tyreek Hill, you don't deserve this amount of money. I don't know. It's frustrating. I do think they got better, but I don't think it's. I think long term they're gonna feel it. They're gonna feel the dumb spending, and they're not gonna be able to shop Christian Kirk unless he breaks out, because no one's gonna want that contract. Anyway, next one is Seattle Seahawks, 26. This might be the most wrong one. The Seahawks are 30 for me. They are going to be awful. Yeah, I don't like this at all. I got rid of Russell Wilson. Have Drew Lock, who, sure, if he goes off, then good for him. But I don't see it. I wouldn't be shocked if more people get shopped by the end of the year. They got Noah Fant and Will Disley. Noah Fant and Shelby Harris. But other than that, I don't see anyone great that's making them much better. It again falls on the quarterback, and I don't know what they're going to do at the quarterback position. So, yeah, I don't think 26 is smart for them. I think the Jaguars are definitely going to be better than the Seahawks. 25, the New York Giants. The Giants are 25? Did I miss something? Did they shock the world? How in God's green earth are the Giants 25? They should actually be 32. The Giants are not going to be great. They're going to struggle. They're never good. They're not making moves to get better. They're making average signings. They blew their money on a receiver last year that didn't even score a touchdown. So Giants did nothing. They're in trouble. 25 is way too high. Chicago Bears. Man, what to say about the Bears? I don't know who's making these lists. 24 is incorrect. The Jaguars are better than the Bears now. The Jaguars are better than the Bears. The Falcons, if they get a good enough quarterback, are better than the Bears. Panthers are better than the Bears. The Bears got rid of Khalil Mack. Don't have Allen Robinson anymore. Didn't sign anybody exciting. Yeah, I think the Bears are also way too high. I would drop them down to like 27. I don't know if I already said that, but just not doing that with the Bears. 24 is too high. Washington Commanders at 23, I like that. I think if Carson Wentz can somehow get back to MVP form like he was years ago, I think they could do something here. They could work with something, but there's a little too much unknown about them, so I want to wait and see with the Commanders. But 23 seems fitting. Saints at 22. This is another one, like a wait and see kind of thing. New head coach. They literally can't sign anybody because their money is so jank, but I like them at 22, just kind of like let them. They're going to have to prove it, and they might be able to prove it. They might still be good. Who knows? Vikings at 21, I actually think this is probably the most accurate one. I think the Vikings are a 21st place team. They're getting older over in the secondary and on defense. They have to kind of get young again, kind of like the Patriots. And I do think their offense is pretty good. It's an elite offense. Just got to fix that defense. Maybe actually I'd bump them up a little higher. Who's above them? The Steelers? No, actually, I think it's right. 21's right, because I would say the Steelers are probably above them. So Vikings at 21 doesn't upset me. I like that one. Steelers at 20, the new home of Mitchell Trubisky. Sorry if you hear my scroll. I'm trying to see who they got. Gunnar Olszewski, the old punt returner for the Patriots. Levi Wallace, I like that. Miles Jack, I really like that. I like what the Steelers did. I think 20 is, I think they should be flopped with who's above them. I think they should be 19 and the team above them should be 20. I think if they can get, I keep saying this a lot, but a good quarterback's going to help them a lot. So maybe Trubisky is good enough to just kind of be a filler until they see, they get a chance to get a quarterback they really like. But I think the Steelers have proved that if you have a great defense, you don't need a good offense. Or you need a good offense, but you don't need a great offense. You need an average offense. Because they've won games just because of their defense. So I like them at 19, and then the team above them, the Eagles, I like at 20. The Eagles, from what I can remember, didn't do anything really. The Eagles got Hassan Reddick. They released Fletcher Cox and then re-signed him. That was funny. Yeah, I like the Eagles at 20. Maybe even 21. Maybe the Vikings are... I like the Eagles at 21. I think the Vikings are better than the Eagles. The Eagles are getting there. I do think they're in the right direction, but I don't think they're doing enough to speed up the pace. I could see the Eagles, though. I love Jalen Hurts. I could see them being another team kind of like the Falcons where they're going to just kind of... Well, not like the Falcons, because I think they could make the playoffs, but they're going to be sneaky, for sure. Cardinals at 18. That just shows you how many teams got better. Because I am scrolling, and I agree that all these teams are better than the Cardinals. Other than maybe one. There's one team that's in an awful position, but I'll get there. Yeah, I just think we need to see more of Kyler and see how he bounces back after literally falling off the earth last year. the Cardinals just fell off, and I guess they just need to prove that they can do it. They don't have Kirk or Green anymore. Yeah, 18 feels right. Which is just so crazy because they were so good last year, but teams got better for sure. And they didn't do much in the free agency period so far. So, yeah, I like them at 18. Dolphins at 17 seems wrong, but right. Yeah, I don't know. I think 17... I think if Tua is good, they jump up a lot. If Tua is actually their starter, like actually plays like a good starter, I think they jump up. But I think with Tua being so wishy-washy, 17's right. 16, the Cleveland Browns. I personally think they should be a lot higher. I would slot them in between 11 and 12. I won't tell you those teams yet because we're not there, but... they're above 12 and below 11. That's where I'd slot them. The New England Patriots are 15. I personally, as a Patriots fan, am going to drop us below the Dolphins. The Patriots have not done enough. And unless we get a good receiver and add some more offensive linemen for Mac, I think we have some catching up to do. I think we need to get faster on defense. We need to get linemen back because we're like out of linemen. And we need a wide receiver one still. I think if our defense remains the speed it was last year, we're in trouble. But I also could see Belichick working his magic. I just think as a Patriots fan, my mind is so poisoned because we were always so good and I would see the signings and be like, oh, okay, like we have Tom Brady, we're okay. But now that we're not winning Super Bowls and we're losing in the playoffs, I think we're noticing that these signings, we feel like these signings are less normal, but they actually are pretty normal for the Patriots. So maybe I'm over-exaggerating, and they could be 15. But right now, I think I would drop them to, like, 17. Colts are 14. I like that for them. The Colts are going to be the Colts. They're going to be really hot at some points and then really cold randomly. But I think getting Matt Ryan is huge for them, so I like them at 14. Raiders at 13 I think is great. I think, obviously, they made moves to jump up. And I think 13 is perfect for them. Ravens at 12. So this is what I was talking about. I'd put the Browns above the Ravens, but below the Titans, who are 11. I think the Ravens... who did the Ravens get? The Ravens got... They barely signed anyone. But the Ravens are a good team, so I might drop the Ravens down to like 14. No, I would drop the Ravens below the Patriots. I think the Patriots are better than the Ravens. I don't know, though. Ravens at 12 seems a little high, but I don't mind it too much. It's one of those ones where maybe they didn't lose a lot of players, so the additions they did add kind of benefited. Titans at 11. They traded for Robert Woods. I like that. I don't know if Tannehill's the guy to get them a Super Bowl, but I do like the Titans being high still. I'm kind of worried about Derrick Henry's health after seeing him in the playoffs last year. I don't think he looked like old Derrick Henry, and I hope it's not one of those cases where the injury changes the course of his career forever. But Titans at 11 doesn't feel wrong. Broncos at 10 seems a little wrong to me. Broncos are not a top 10 team yet. They're good, and they're probably top 15, top 18, but not top 10. Broncos got good with Russell Wilson, but not top 10. Cowboys are 9. Yeah, I would say that's probably right. I think they're 9. Maybe just out of the top 10. I'm not too sure. Yeah, they kind of just stayed the same, adding some minor pieces. I would drop them probably to like 11 or 12, so about there, maybe out of the top 10. Okay, this is the worst take that we've seen so far. The Niners are number 8. I'm sorry, but there's no way the Niners repeat the luck and magic they had last year. Everyone knows that they had a very generous run and got very lucky last year. And I don't see 8 being right for them. I didn't hear that they did much. So, yeah, they didn't really do much over the offseason either to get better. So, I don't like them at 8. I like them way farther down. So, Niners at 8's weird. Chargers at 7, falling below the Packers. Is wrong. That's just wrong. The Packers are not the 6th best team in the NFL anymore. They don't have anyone anymore. They lost Davante Adams. Who's Rodgers going to throw it to? They're in trouble. Packers are in trouble. 6 is not correct for them. This needs to be fixed. Because the Chargers are definitely going to be better than the Packers. Bengals at 5. I can dig that one. Despite losing being the AFC representative in the Super Bowl, they lost. And they didn't get better, but they didn't get worse. So 5 seems good. Buccaneers at 4. Personally, they should be 1. They've remained to keep that team practically the same. And they got Tom Brady back. So I like the Bucs being a little bit higher, but 4 doesn't make me that angry because it's top 5. And I think they're right up there. Chiefs at 3. Could be right. In my head, I think the Tyreek Hill trade hurts them a lot. But I could be wrong. They could just perform next year just fine. So I like them a little lower, but 3 doesn't hurt either. Rams at 2. I think they should be 1. I just think it's right. They won the Super Bowl and they got they got big names again. So I like them at 1, and I definitely don't like the Bills at 1. I like the Bills probably at about 5. The Bills are always going to choke in the playoffs as long as there's Mahomes. The Chargers look elite. The Raiders look really good. I don't see the Bills beating them. I do think they're a great team and the best in the East. It hurts me to say that as a Patriots fan. But I don't think they're number 1. And I think the bottom of this list was all right, but the top of this list was pretty bad. ESPN, you need to fix your list because there's some weird mix-ups in here, and I definitely think the Bills are not number 1. But anyway, that is the NFL Power Rankings 2022 free agency list. I have some questionable decisions there, but my opinion is not the right opinion. I could be way more wrong than ESPN. They could be right. But personally, I think there's some errors on there. I'm excited for the next NFL season. I think it's going to be a complete madness considering, like, in the AFC, 3 of the best teams are in the same division. So I'm excited. But now we're going to get down to the real bread and butter. MLB is back, baby. I'm going to cut it here, and then we're going to get into it. Finally, baseball is back. After an awful lockout, baseball's back. Opening day is Thursday, April 7th, which is literally 6 days away, almost 5. MLB The Show 22 came out today. I've been playing it. It's great. Baseball's great. I'm excited for baseball. The Cubs are probably not going to be great, but I don't care. I love baseball. This isn't going to take too long. I just kind of want to talk about where we are. Last time I recorded an episode, I believe, we were still in lockout. Baseball was looking very, very unlikely to happen. And if it did happen, it was looking like not another year of less than 162 games. But we were gravely mistaken one day when Bob Nightingale stayed up day and night reporting these meetings and giving us hope and then having it ripped away again. And then finally one day, the MLBPA and the MLB agreed on terms to have a 162 game season. The start would be delayed, but they would make up the games in doubleheaders or off days. And we are now here, Thursday, April 7th, opening day, Chicago Cubs, Milwaukee Brewers at the Chicago Cubs. I will be watching it at my house. And I am so excited. I cannot believe it's here. It feels fake. Seiya Suzuki is a Cub. Jacob DeGrom is a playing opening day, which is really, really upsetting. The Blue Jays are going to be good this year. There's so many thoughts in my head. Like, I'm so excited to see opening day, and I'm just so excited to see all the new teams. Marcus Stroman may pitch on opening day because Carl Hendricks has been absolutely awful, but not the point. But yeah, baseball is right around the corner. It's exciting. Spring training has been going off. It's been so much fun to watch, see players come back and with their new teams and be able to play baseball and have that feeling of baseball. I love football, without a doubt my favorite sport, but the atmosphere and feeling around baseball when it's baseball season is unmatched. It literally feels like a holiday, but I'm excited. The Dodgers got better. The Braves got amazing. They've obviously World Series champions. White Sox are going to be good. NL Central still sucks. Mariners got good. A bunch of stuff. I didn't really have anything specific other than I just wanted to celebrate that baseball's back and I'm able to report on baseball now. I can't wait. I can't wait. We can take a quick look right here at the opening day pitchers that have been revealed, at least. Red Sox at Yankees will be Eovaldi versus Garrett Cole. Love that. Cubs and Brewers, it says Kyle Hendricks and Corbin Burns, but Kyle Hendricks has an asterisk next to his name. I imagine that will be changed because he's really not been doing too hot, but maybe they'll do it out of respect to him. Mets at Nationals is to be determined because Jacob DeGrom got hurt. I imagine it's going to be Scherzer now. Guardians at Royals is Shane Bieber versus Zach Greinke. Mariners at Twins is Robbie Ray versus Joe Ryan. Joe Ryan, what the heck? Pirates at Cardinals Pittsburgh is unannounced, but Adam Wainwright, it's looking like. Reds at Braves is Tyler Mahle versus Max Fried. Astros at Angels is Framber Valdez versus Shohei Ohtani. I love Shohei Ohtani. I'm so excited. I'm definitely watching that game. Padres at Diamondbacks, Yu Darvish versus Madison Bumgarner. White Sox at Tigers, Lance Lynn versus Eduardo Rodriguez. A's at Phillies, Oakland to be determined because they sold everybody. Versus Aaron Nola. Orioles at Rays, John Means versus Shane McClanahan. Hope I said that right. Dodgers at Rockies, Walker Buehler versus whoever's pitching for Colorado. Marlins at Giants, Sandy Alcantara versus Logan Webb. Rangers and Blue Jays is last, and it is John Gray versus Jose Barrios. Good matchups. Opening day is so close. You can literally smell it. I'm so, so, so excited for opening day. And I just want to, I'm having a hard time talking about stuff because I want to wait to get closer and hype it up and really get into the nitty gritty. And maybe do my own power ranking before heading into the season. Whether that will be on the Cubs one or this one, I will let you guys know. But for now, that is all I have to say on baseball. Just celebrate and be happy that baseball is back. If you are not a baseball fan, I do recommend just showing any support to the game. Baseball fans have been suffering. Baseball would have been, I think, up and running by now, right? It was delayed 2 weeks or something. And we've been suffering, and this is our time. We need this. We want this. I recommend watching some baseball. It will be fun. I genuinely think it's going to be fun to see the players play because I think they're going to be playing with a lot of passion and heart considering what happened in the lockout. So I'm excited. I'm excited for baseball. This is like one of my favorite times of the year just because of baseball. So, yes. Anyway, thank you guys for watching. This was episode 2 of season 2, finally, of Let's Talk Sports. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I am back and I'm enjoying it. So I really appreciate you guys coming back and listening and being so patient with me. I will keep you guys posted on the Cubs podcast. And then I don't have a date for my next episode because I'm going to try to make this Cubs one. But hopefully I'll be able to get on a normal schedule again. So thank you guys so much for listening. Have a great day, night, afternoon, wherever you guys are, and I'll see you guys next time.